have your Bibles, we're turning again to the Old Testament, to the prophecy of Haggai, those minor prophets there at the back of the Old Testament, Haggai chapter 1. To thank your sister again for playing for us and helping to try to keep a boy like me in tune. It's never easy. With our Bibles open before us, we'll take a few moments again just to bow before the Lord in the attitude of prayer, looking for Him for His help and for His speaking voice tonight. Our Father in heaven, with Thy word open before us, we pray that Thou wilt take this word again and apply it to our hearts. We confess our need of Thee. We realize that we're weak within ourselves, with nothing to say but Thy word. It is altogether powerful. It was actually the uttered word of God that put this world into being. So Thy word is all powerful. And to that end, we pray that Thou wilt take Thy word and use it tonight for the uplifting of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thine only begotten Son. To that end, give help. Give help to this preacher. We look now for the infilling of the Holy Ghost to take control of mind, soul, and emotions, both in preacher and in hearers alike, that we may hear the word and not only hear, but be doers as well. So to that end, undertake for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in the verse 1. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Zethiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Zethiel, and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's messenger, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. There is basically three words that are stated in two different occasions in this chapter that I would like us to set our attention upon this evening. You'll notice verse 5, whereby it says there, and therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. It is repeated in the verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Just somewhat of an introduction, if I can just set somewhat of the history of the passage here before us, it has helped us to see somewhat of what is happening and what God is doing in this place. I hope you are aware of the story of Nebuchadnezzar, who came up against the children of Israel and against Jerusalem. And there how he came in upon Israel and in upon Judah, and they are taken captive. Some ran away to Egypt, some ran out into the wilderness, some and many and most were taken captive back to Babylon under the reign and rule of Nebuchadnezzar the king. Now back there you can read the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and these is happening within that times. Daniel, he reads of the prophecy of Jeremiah, and he understands that this carrying away, this bondage, this encounterment is going to last for a period of 70 years. And after 70 years, then there will be a return back again to Israel. God is going to allow these things to happen. And before us is somewhat of the history and the happening of that period of time. Whenever you come here, we find Nebuchadnezzar, he has passed on. Cyrus, he has become king. And under his reign, he has sympathy towards Israel. Ezra and Nehemiah, they are those that are even taking rule to bring the children of Israel back into Israel. In Ezra chapter 2, for example, you will find there the names of all of those that are going back to Israel and back to their own land. In Ezra chapter 1 and the verse 5, you find there what was the purpose that their return was for. It says this, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So that's the purpose. And they got all the legal requirements set in order. Off they go. And they're getting the structure set. And there is excitement and thrill in these people to go and to build the house of God. But politics change. Customs change. People change. We change. And that's what has happened even again here within Israel. Satan has raised his hand. And friends, can I ask you tonight, do you believe in the reality of a devil? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Do you know that his whole aim is the destruction of your soul? To see you cast and damned into hell. He wants to stop. And it always has been his purpose is to stop and defraud the work of God. Whether it's amongst believers or to stop you entering the church of Jesus Christ. And as the people of God, we need to be aware the devil's real and the devil is ever active. And here, the devil is active here in Ezra chapter 4, we can see some of the work. Zerubbabel and Joshua, they're there, they start at the building. There's these other people wants to influx and join in, but they know that they will not help the work. They say, no, you cannot join with us, because they're coming with the purpose to hinder the work. Now, that doesn't work. So they join then with the political scene, then to create havoc for the work of God. Another king has come into the realms. Times always change. And we know even here in Northern Ireland, I've lived long enough now to see all the change within the political scenes. Darius has passed on. Ahasuerus comes onto the throne. He has a different heart. He has a different mindset. And he will join, and these people now comes back to Babylon to try to get the work to stop. And in Ezra 4 and the verse 21, we read here, give ye now commandment. This is the letter that Ahasuerus has sent out. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not built until another commandment shall be given from me. And then just a couple of verses down in verse 24, we read some very sad words. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Two things I want you to get very clear here. That regardless of all of the opposition against man's soul, God is always in control. And you might be of those that would have that temptation to think that if we had a certain political party in reign, or a certain king, and we have a new king now in Britain, and if there's certain political things in order, things could be different. We're thinking about all of the laws that have now passed. The mainland has railroaded right over all of the standards and standings of Ulster. Brought in sodomite laws, brought in the murder of children within the wind. And they never blink an eye. And you know the sad thing today in Protestant Ulster, and I'll say that with hyphens, who cares? Who cares? There's a prayer time that is called next Saturday. Our only help can be from the Lord. But who cares? And here now we've come into Haggai chapter 2, and the political scene has changed again. The religious scene has changed again. Darius, he comes in, he's sympathetic to Israel. He has opened the way. There's freedom again to get back to the work and to start building and doing that which they were called to do right at the very beginning. But there's apathy. There's a carelessness. There's a dearth and there's a deadness. And maybe this evening, is this a description of us? Regardless of the title we want to give ourselves, saved, Christian, non-Christian, but regardless of those things, because here God is bringing the reality of all of these circumstances and situations before them, and he says, I want to speak to you. And before we come just to look at the message, I want you to notice first of all the one who's really speaking. Yeah, we've read from the prophecy of Haggai. But look at verse 2. Here's the speaker. Just notice who the speaker is. Thus speaketh the Lord. That would be wrong to stop there. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. We ought to give heed to every title that the Bible gives and never stop short. This is a title that is so important. This is God Almighty speaking. This is the God who controls the hosts of earth and the hosts of heaven are under His dictations. It's the God Almighty that's speaking here. And He's coming to this people and He has a message that He wants to get them across. And normally whenever you find this title, the Lord of hosts, being used, it is used to Israel whenever they're in a backslidden and in a cold state. So how's the Lord speaking here tonight in Portland? No. What state of heart and mind are you and I in tonight? At just after 7 o'clock on the Sabbath evening, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Is your ear open? Are you ready to hear what the God Almighty has to say? Then you'll notice, secondly, who is the message for? And that comes in the verse 1. Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Josedech. Now who's he? Here's the politicians. He's governor of Judah. And God here is saying, now you politicians, I have this message for you. God Almighty is speaking. Notice secondly, who He's speaking to. And He's also speaking unto Joshua, the son of Josedech. Who's he? The high priest. Oh, even to those of a religious standing, it's God Almighty that's speaking. And to those who have within the leadership of the church, God Almighty has a word to say unto us. And then you'll see there in the verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people. So this is a message for all. And as I've already said, you can give yourself whatever title you want, but God is speaking. And only you know, and only I know, whenever the Lord is dealing with us in a personal manner. So let's look at the message. Let's look at what the Lord has to say to these individuals. And you will notice, firstly of all, the Lord wants to reveal their sin. This people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. You see, the Lord has noticed their voice. And you see, the Lord individually wants to speak. That's the great thing about God. He can individualize even in the crowd. That's what He does. Whenever we read in Revelation 2 there, in the verse 4, we find God's coming to the church at Ephesus. And what does He have to say to them? He says, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And there's 7 churches there, and these individual things to say to each of those groups. And God wants to reveal the sins to these groups, or churches, or individuals. But God also speaks singularly to each one. And I wonder, is God speaking to somebody here tonight about your sin? See, God, he spoke to Naaman. Remember Naaman as he came to Elisha and he wanted cleansing, but filled with his pride, he would not dip in Jordan. He would have some of his other ideas. He had his own religious notions. But God dealt with this man through his own soldiers and humbled himself, brought him to that place of repentance and calling upon God. Same with the woman at the well in John's Gospel. How the Lord started to deal with this woman. He asked for water. The well was deep. The Lord said he would give him water. And you will read there that how the Lord starts to reveal to that individual, I know all about you. Go call thy husband. Oh no, I don't have a husband. And the Lord's able to tell her, you've had five and the one that you're now living with isn't your husband. I know all about you. And folks, I look throughout this congregation tonight and some I know fairly well, some not so well. Others, I wouldn't have a clue really. But God knows. God knows the state of the heart. He knows the state of the mind. And you know what's better? The Spirit of God is now telling you the state of your heart and the state of your mind. Not the preacher. Don't try to blame and push it on to somebody else. You see, Nicodemus, whenever God was dealing with him, and he tells him, you must be born again. You remember all that full nonsense he goes over? Do I have to go into the mother's womb and be reborn? Such an educated man. But he's getting into such of a place that he just wants to hide. He wished he never had come. He wished he'd never asked this question. But God has put him in the spot. Wonder who God's going to put in the spot tonight. Maybe even here in Portland, no. And he's saying to you, can you consider your ways? For thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Now you will notice God even points out personal sins. I said to you how he dealt with the woman at the well, but he does the same thing here. Do you notice there in the verse 2, this people say. See, God says, I've been paying heed to what comes out of your mouth. To the movement of your tongue. To the speech that comes forth. And in this speech there's sin. And there's so many today and they never stop to think about their tongue. And what they have to say. And sad to say, even among Christian circles, I've heard it oftentimes, well, it's just a wee white lie. Friend, I don't need to say it. You know a lie's a lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And the Lord of hosts, the Almighty God, he takes notice to the speech that we have to say. And you will notice even somewhat again of the speech that these people says. It says it's not time that the Lord's house should be built. You see, there's even here the laziness of tongue. They don't want to be involved. Oh, it's not time to go out and give out tracts. Oh, it's such a cold age of time. Nobody's interested. This area, if you only knew of the coldness, and we make up all of the excuses. Guilty. But the Lord says, I notice your voice, and you know something? Your tongue's discouraging others. That's what they were doing. This people say the time. And what happened? They were discouraging others from being involved in the work. And I wonder in our conversation, is the Lord noticing that within our conversation we're discouraging others? We're to be encouragers, not discouragers. And here the Lord is revealing unto them the sin, and it's the sin of speech, and this and the very desires that they set forth. But also the Lord saying, I know the desires of your heart. Because I know where this speech comes from. It's coming from the heart. It's coming because of a heart condition. A mindset that you've now developed. You see where they're filled with materialism. Look at verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie at waste? Plenty of time to fix up their own houses. In fact, its word can be used here as panelled houses or covered houses. Whenever they had come in first, they could only live in tents. The whole place was in ruins. Such depression it was. Nothing but heaps of stones and burnt wood. But now there's fancy houses. People's living in them. But the place to meet with God is still lying in ruin. Tonight, what is the state of your heart and mine? Does it long to meet with God? Is there a place for God in your heart? Oh, maybe you're here tonight, and because somebody invited you, or you know your mum or dad or somebody else just would be harping on to you, I'll go to quieten everything down, but I'm not really interested. Is that the state of your heart? The Almighty God already has seen it, and He wants to speak to you. Consider your ways. For thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he reminds those people that you've been bought with a price, we're not our own. Solomon, as he takes the pen and he's writing in the words of Proverbs 4:23, he says, we're to keep the heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What state's your heart in tonight? Before God. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, you consider your ways because I'm considering you. That's what God's been saying here to Israel. And what is true for Israel is true tonight for Portland Hill. It's true for us that's gathered here in this building. And we need to know what it is to take stock at times and look at our lives. And especially you unsaved tonight. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. Oh, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm full of life. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, the sad thing is, even working, even in amongst our own work in the church, and you, there are some who once had a good testimony. And we can't even find them in the house of God anymore. Such is the state of heart. Folks, remember, you know people like that. There's a time they used to have interest in those things, but there's no interest today. It's a state of heart. And how will you speak to them? Better than that, what do they see in your life and mine? Is it appetizing even to the unbeliever? But let me tell you here tonight, you unsaved one, you would point your finger and say, oh, well, I'm better than him. Or I'm better than her. Or I have better standards than what they have. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Not theirs. Not someone else's. It's yours. God deals with us personally, individually. So what state are we in tonight before God? Here's the great seeing eye, the great beholding eye that sees all things. But secondly, we come here to this verse 5, and it says, consider your ways. And this is after the Lord has revealed to them their sins, and what He's saying, you ponder earnestly, because I have been dealing with you. And God reveals His judgments unto them. And they're so blind. They've been so cold, so indifferent, they didn't even realize God was dealing with them. I wonder, is that like somebody here tonight? You'll see the description that is given here. You see, God has told them. He said, you look there at the verse 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that lies at waste. God was dealing with these people in judgment. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and brought in little. Ye eat and have not enough. Ye drink and ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And ye earn your wages, and your wages is put into a bag with holes. You see, you're not aware. I've been involved in these things. And tonight I would ask you to consider, as I must even ask myself to consider, the past, the things that have been happening within our lives, because God's in control. And what has God been doing that He might speak to us and we have missed? And that's why He's coming here and He's saying, consider your ways. Because I have been dealing with you. I have been speaking with you. And you're going on as if I never have existed. You don't hear a thing. You give no attention whatsoever. And do you know how God visits graciously? And He has brought you here, sinner, again tonight. He's given you another opportunity. We live in a day and age whereby it seems to be preachers are quite happy to get an individual to pray a wee prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in this day. Oh, you're saved and on you go. My friend, this is not frivolity. And mind you, I'm not making little even of those prayers. But how real are we before God? You see, the one that stands before you tonight has been there. As a young man, and I say this to my shame, and as I think of it, I tremble in my own shoes. But I can recall one Sabbath night, standing in one of our churches testifying to the grace of God in my life. And on Monday morning, before lunchtime, my conversation was alone with the boys of the world. A jackal and a hide. And I wasn't even conscious of God's dealings with me. And as I thought back of all of the near shaves, and God, the Lord Himself only knows, I used to be a lunatic in a car. And yet through all of those wild teenage years, the Lord kept me. And yet, the Almighty God was speaking, and I never heard His voice. Or Mimi, if the truth be told, I heard the voice, but I refused to hear. You see, I wanted my mates, I wanted my friends, I wanted this way of life. And it's a bit like what is described here, you earneth wages and you put it into a bag with holes. There was no contentment And you see, that's what's being described here in this verse 6. Of all the labours, of all the toils, and of all of the efforts, it brings no contentment. And I had no contentment. Oh, I led the double life. Remember in those days, I had a special wee apartment in my car. Oh, if you'd come into the car, you'd Willie McRae and whatever was set all out there. But in that wee pouch, I'd everything to entertain the friends and the people of the world. You know, in reality, it never brought me 1 ounce of contentment. For all of those years, teenage years, I knew nothing but agony and displeasure. And tonight, I can't tell you the date I got saved. Can't even tell you the year. Don't remember it anymore. Because I have so many times, I lay in my bed, I went into inquiry rooms, I'd done those things over and over and over, but walked out just the same. But God says, consider your ways. But I do recall the night heading home, and God had been dealing with us. It was in a youth fellowship. You young people, you keep attending your youth fellowship. God spoke to us that night, and I remember going after the fellowship, going down the stairs, and I said to one of my mates, who does he think he is preaching at us? I was so stupid, I thought it was the preacher. I wasn't even aware, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I'm speaking to you, Lawrence. I'm speaking to you personally. I remember going out with the guys that night. Don't remember where I went. Don't remember anything about it. Early hours of Saturday morning, I was on my way home out the Clarats Road. And these things was in my mind. And just like that, as if there was a voice from heaven. Now, there was no bright lights. There was nothing. Into my mind came this voice. That preacher knows nothing about you, but I do. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. That was the day of my conversion. It's God speaking to you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God has been dealing with you, and you've been passing by. Maybe things have been happening within your business or your place of work. Maybe within the home, the domestic things, because that's what the Holy Ghost has put down here. He says, you have sown much, there's the business. But it came to little. He says, you drink, you eat, here's the domestic things, you clothe yourself. But there is no contentment, there's no satisfaction in any of those things. And God says to them here, he says, I've been taking stock of your lives and of your mindset and of your heart. And then verse 7 comes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Three times this title, the Lord of hosts, is set forth. God's speaking voice to this people. The next prophecy, which is Zechariah, he's a contemporary with Haggai. You see, God has this message going everywhere, and it's a wonderful thing. If you read the prophet of Zechariah, he's a completely different style of communicating to the people than that of Haggai. And you know that it's not the communicator. God has his own men, and they have their own styles of communicating. But the main thing is, God wants you to understand you need to consider your ways. Because God has. God knows your heart state and your condition this evening. And again, I stress that under whatever title we put. Then you will notice thirdly, God has a commandment to give this people. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Here's the commandment. Go up to the mountain, bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. What he's saying to this people, here they are, they're standing in the city. Lift your eyes out there to Mount Lebanon. And you see all of those great cedars. Those strong, majestic, and beautiful trees that are set there. You go up. You lift your eyes upon them and you go up. And you come down that you may begin this work. And here we are in Portland on tonight. And that's the very thing God will call us. He will call us to lift our eyes upward. To lift our eyes to behold that which is glorious and splendor. That which God has created. That which God has set for the fulfillment of his own glory. And for the splendor of his church. That's what God has set for you and me. In the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul to the church at Philippi says there in chapter 2, the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Folks, what does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to me? We're just a couple of weeks away from Christmas. This time we're thinking about the birth of Jesus and the story has been told over and over. But what does it really mean to you? What does the birth of that child mean to you and me? What does the walk of that individual mean to you and me? And as he travels up the hill of Golgotha, what does it mean to you and me? Can I remind you of his substitutionary death? Sometimes we don't like the theological words. It's good to take them on board. Because if he's not your substitute, then you have no place with God. For you have nothing to offer God. And here Christ took the abandonment. He took your hell and my hell. Being in that place without God. And let me tell you, unsaved one, tonight, even though you're unsaved or whatever, you still have somewhat of the blessings and the pleasures of God. Because you're able to live at this time. The minute that life ends, it's going to be different. Very different. I think of Luke 16. The story there that Jesus tells of Lazarus and the rich man. I'll tell you, we're told that the rich man died in the very next words, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You'll not have breathed your last breath till you will know the abandonment of God because you rejected the substitutionary offer of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There on the cross, and all those people that day heard it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There. Jesus is being abandoned of the Father. And not only had you the punishment of the whips, the pulling of the hair from his face and his head, the crown of thorns that was placed upon him, left so weak as he trails that cross up that way, as he's nailed to it, hands and feet, as that cross is uplifted and dropped into the socket in the ground, you can hear the very sighs and the tears of the skins and the sinews as he hangs there in agony. But you know what's a greater agony? God hides his face and all hell is let loose upon the Son of God. Jesus did that for sinners like you and me. Child of God, we want to consider our ways, understanding in him, unsaved one. You want to consider what it is to reject that one. And there he goes. And it is a sacrificial death. Not only did he take his place, but he satisfied the divine justice of God. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, crieth better things than that of Abel. Oh, Abel's blood was crying for vengeance. But the blood of Jesus Christ offers mercy and peace to us sinners. What a Christ. And yet you will sit here tonight and have little thought for the sacrificial death God is able to do. Tell me, is he speaking to you? And not only does God do that, but through the work of Christ, he will take his people and he offers them before the Father, faultless and sinless. Do you know, I was more or less giving you a quick wee word of testimony of what I did in my youth. The Father knows nothing about it. It's all under the blood. My Christ has dealt with that. Praise be to God. And who else could I go to? No Free Presbyterian minister can do anything for you. No elder can do anything for you. No worker can do anything for you. No pope, priest, or anything else can do anything for you. It is Christ that presents his people faultless before his Father in heaven. And you know what it's for? That you and I will glorify him. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And you'll see there what the call is for. He says, go up, he says, and build this house. And the Lord says, I'll take pleasure in it. Oh, unsaved one, I do not know. I do not know what you're doing. Just to know the peace and contentment, just being able to lie down at night. With this story, I'll close. 2010, I think it was. Yeah. December. But this time of the year, maybe just a little earlier. Been working, things was busy, I come home, sat down on my sofa, got my supper, wasn't that caring on my supper that night. Know what time it was, I wanted to leave, and said to the wife, I'm not in great form, I'm going to go to bed. Went to bed. I didn't know. Just like that, I woke in the terrible agony, right across my chest. This is a heart attack. And such was the pain and such was the agony, I was convinced it's all over. And you know what I found myself doing? I didn't even fully realize it just happened. I started praying for my family, just committing them to the Lord. I was convinced that was me. I'd had it. My days were over. Thankfully, it was only gallstones. It was bad enough anyway, believe you me. But anyway, regardless of that, but in that instant of time, I faced the reality of death. But I had a peace and a contentment that passeth all understanding. Sinner, if that was you, where would you be? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We'll not have a closing hymn, we'll just close in prayer. Then you'll be free to go. I do apologize for going over time. But let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, you take the time to get things right with God. If you've got away from God, get you back. These men and myself are in no rush. If you need help, listen, I emphasize it. I can do nothing for nobody, but I know the one who can. You get right with God tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, take your word, apply it to our hearts, forgive us our sins, help us to see thee in all of thy glory, help us to hear your voice. And O God, for any that's in this place tonight that knows thee not, may the almighty, powerful voice of God surrender to their hearts and souls. To that end, separate us now in thy fear. And let the blessing of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be your portion both now and until Jesus comes or calls. Amen.